What up? This is Rob at the No BS Podcast. Before you listen to this week's episode of the No BS Podcast, I want to remind you, if you missed a previous episode, you can now catch us on all major platforms. So take us to work, take us to the gym, wherever you go, take No BS Podcast with you. The No BS Podcast, again, available on all major platforms. Enjoy the episode. What's up, everybody? It's Rob with the No BS Podcast. We're back. It's me, Rob, host with the most, back with my co-host, the Birdman, Adam Birchman. What up, Adam?
Wait. You have to give everyone a second to cheer.
Adam, yeah. You know, when I think about that, I immediately think, you ever seen that TikTok where it's like, Lightning McQueen? You know, I kind of picture it, but Adam the Birdman. Yeah, is that what you- people to cheer?
Well, you know, it cut to a song and like a promo video too, but
you know what I'm talking about, like Lightning McQueen.
Yeah, we're keeping this low budget though, so
exactly. For those of you who don't know what I'm talking about, look it up. It's basically something about you're cheering for something that's going on in someone's life that's great, and then you have like a fan in the cheers like Lightning McQueen, but it's really saying whoever you're cheering for. So in this case, it was cheering for Adam Birdman. So again, if you missed the reason behind our nickname, check out a previous show. But basically, again, if you're new, I'm Rob, host with the most, and then Adam here he self-proclaimed himself the Birdman, not Chris Anderson tatted up Birdman, but not that version. But you know, that's what he went with.
No, I mean the main difference is I'm still relevant and he's not. So.
I mean, that's true. I have no idea what he's doing nowadays. The last team he played for was like the Miami Heat, wasn't it?
Yeah, he was on your favorite team.
I'm not my favorite team. He was there my favorite team while LeBron was on it. So, as you like to say,
he was also on that Nuggets team with Carmelo and J.R. Smith and AI.
Yeah, I do remember that, and that is your favorite. But yes, I do remember that. But, anyway, welcome to the show, the No BS Podcast. We're back after about a three-year hiatus, and we apologize as Adam and I had some beef. We worked it out. We're come back together. We realized that the most important thing is put our differences aside and just bring a podcast to you. Nah, I'm just fucking with you. There's been no beef at all. I know it kind of feels that way, but it's not like that at all. If you've been keeping up with the show, those of you who know is I've been for weeks and months planning a wedding. And then I finally had that wedding about 3 weeks ago today. My lovely wife finally got hitched. And I want to thank Adam for driving 5.5-6 hours for my wedding. He didn't have to do that, so I appreciate that. We had a good time.
It's a beautiful wedding. It was a lot of fun.
I appreciate that. I appreciate you coming down. You didn't have to do that. I actually had an opportunity to meet. Well, I take it back. I've known your mother for several years. I've met her several times, but I had an opportunity to talk to your mother on your way back home. Your mom's a lovely person. Hopefully she didn't, you know, you guys had a great time back home. I hope the car ride home and to her wasn't too excruciating for you, as you gave me a little insights on some of those conversations and how they go, that you survived those. Okay.
It's a mom being a mom.
Right. We got to love our moms. We got to love our moms. But again, thanks again for you coming to my wedding. It was appreciated. Shelby had a great time. I had a great time. Adam had a great time. It was a beautiful wedding. Everything went just as well as we wanted it to be. Shelby and I had a great honeymoon. We went to the Gulf Shores, Alabama, had a great time, got a great tan. It was just nice to chill and relax and great time. I mean, so we are officially husband and wife. Now we're about to move and we got a baby on the way. So
let me tell you something too, though. The speeches were all very, very good too.
Yeah. Did you like my son's speech?
Your son stole the show.
Yeah. So my son, he stood up and said, 9.5 years ago, my son met the most important person in his life. And he's like, that's me. And then he's like, 7.5 years later, he met Shelby. And then he's talking about how my son, who's on the way, the next important thing in his life that'll be tied with him is my soon son. And so it was a great speech. He teased me for weeks about what his speech was going to be. He's like, Dad, I'm going to make you laugh. You know, you're probably going to cry. And I was like, okay. I thought it was going to be kind of touchy, but anyone that knows my son knows that that speech was exactly his personality. So it matched. It was great.
And yeah,
so,
he wasn't like nervous or scared or anything.
Right. And again, Adam, it wasn't a speech. It wasn't a speech. He wanted to like bring that home and emphasize that this wasn't a speech.
Yeah, but he's 9 years old, right?
Yeah, he's 11. He's 11,
and he's speaking in front of like over 100 people.
Yeah. The one thing that anyone knows about my son is not shy. He is not shy at all. Matter of fact, I mean, to put it in perspective, we were in public several times this weekend, and my son is doing the gritty, dancing around in public. Like, he is not shy by no means. I always joke that he's going to be like the kind of like the class clown in school. The guy is going to be the prankster, the jokester. That's going to be my son. He's very vocal. He didn't get that from me because I'm not that way. So he must have got the comfortability from his mom.
Luckily, he also didn't take in his in your preference of teams. So
yeah. He's definitely branched out and like his own player, his own team. So you know that, and you know I expect that. You know that's cool. You know, my son can have his own opinions, even if they're wrong, but he's allowed to have those opinions. But
he's got a decent taste in music too, because I'm pretty sure I drove you and your son and what was the other boy's name that was there?
I believe you're referencing Colbin, which is one of my good friend, my wife's good friend's son. He's a cool kid. We hung out with him this weekend. It was a fun time. But again, great wedding. Thanks, Adam, for coming out. We made it a no BS party. You know, hung out a little bit after the wedding. But anyway, I just appreciate you coming down, and I'm glad to hear you had a good time. And anyone who's listening to this podcast that attended our wedding, Shelby and I are greatly appreciated. Appreciate you taking the time out of your schedule to making our day special than it already was. So, yeah. So now we have a lot, you know, now we have a baby to look forward to, and we're ecstatic about that. So you know what, we're going to,
last thing on the wedding though, you know what my favorite part was, to be honest with you?
I don't know. What is it?
You and, your lovely wife, as you refer to her now, Shelby, pledging your vows to each other's kids. I've never seen that before. I don't know if that's like a common thing or not, but I thought that was actually a really cool and neat moment.
Well, I appreciate that. We had other people that said the same thing. And so that was something that was very important to me and her to, you know, because, you know, anyone that's listening to this podcast, it's kind of, you know, maybe, you know, you start dating someone who has a kid, and, you know, you kind of come in, you be a step parent to that kid. You know, that person becomes a big, important part to you in your life as well. And so, you know, and a real thing, if you're marrying their mom, you're marrying their whole family. And so, for me, it was important to like let my stepson know that, you know, you're mine now officially. You have to be there. As he had a really funny moment. Yeah, but the one thing about my stepson is he's not someone that likes to like, he's not a big mushy person, lovey dovey type person, unless it's to his mom. If you're being what he thinks too lovey dovey, he'll tell you to stop because it's like he gets uncomfortable. So Adam was there to witness it. You know, I was telling him that I love him. I'm marrying you. He's like, stop. And then he had a really funny moment when I was like, you know, I'm marrying you along with your mom. He's like, no, you're marrying mommy. It's a very funny, very funny moment. Something my wife, she loves. She, on our way to Nashville and to Alabama, she kept playing it over and over and over on her phone because it was just a funny moment.
Dude, so, he had some swagger to his walk off the stage too.
It wasn't
quite Conor McGregor or Vince McMahon, but he had his own swagger to him. So
yeah, he's definitely got some swag to himself. My stepson is one of the coolest 5-year-olds you'll ever meet, and my son is trying to make it even more cooler. They have their own little. Anyone that keeps up with this whole current lingo, where you know someone says I'm him, no, I'm him. So my son and my stepson argue back and forth now on who's him. super fucking annoying, but that's what they do. But, you know, that's kind of what they bond over. But, yeah, that was a cool moment. And so, but, yes, I've heard a few people do that, and I thought it was a good idea. And for me, you know, Shelby stepping in, and from day one with when it comes to Luke, she's just been awesome to him. So for her to read their vows to Luke, that was very – that was one of my favorite moments of the wedding. So appreciate you bringing that up because that's awesome. But ultimately, I'm glad you enjoyed yourself. One last time, thanks for coming down. And anyone else, again, if you're listening to this podcast that attended my wedding, thanks for coming as well. You guys made it more special. So, but anyway, so we appreciate your patience with us and apologize for a couple weeks hiatus as I was gone. That was already scheduled for me to be gone for a few weeks. Adam was, you know, had hoped to put on a podcast.
Yeah, I'm going to take over for a second, Rob.
So. Yeah, Adam has to throw us, you know, someone under the bus. So I'm gonna let him do that real quick.
Let me give some positive shout outs out first because it's been a minute. So my coworker, one of my coworkers, him and his wife had their first child about two weeks ago.
Congratulations.
Shout out to Patrick and Brandy.
Both, was it a boy or girl?
It was a boy, and his name is Luke.
Oh, I like that already.
So shout out to them. Then shout out to one of my buddies that I also work with. He's a local rapper, and I think I've sent you some of this stuff, Rob. His name is 71, the two numbers 71, then 60 spelled out. He dropped a new single. It's called "Pray for Wisdom," and it's on all the sharing apps like Apple and Spotify and everything else like that. So check it out. So shout out to him because he does some good work. Then shout out to my mom for coming here. She was up here down here for 2 weeks, and it was a very enjoyable time getting some family to come out here. It doesn't happen that often. So
Mindy with an I.
That's correct. So shout out to her. That was a good time. And then if you're gonna say and be pretty adamant about coming on with us, don't bail out and flake out at the last second. Because I had fully planned on doing at least one, if not two episodes. And I'm not going to get on here by myself. I can do that, but it doesn't feel right. So we have to fill the seat like they do on all the other talk shows and podcasts like that. So if you're going to come on, come on. Don't be a wannabe and hide in the shadow. So you know who you are. You missed your opportunity. I'm just kidding. If you want to come on, we'll probably still have you on, but we're going to give you shit about it.
Right. I'm not sure who Adam is referencing, but if we ever get an opportunity to have you on the show, we'll definitely have to give you crap, as Adam said. So, but you know what? It is what it is. We, you know, we have a few week hiatus, but we're back. We have a few topics we're going to cover tonight. We're going to talk about the NBA Finals. We're going to talk about we were talking about other shows. I was joking beginning of the show about Adam and I having some beef to get against each other, which of course is false, but we are going to talk about some real beef that's going on for one of a popular talk shows that are coming to an end. We're going to get into that. We're also going to talk a little bit about I'm an avid golfer. I'm a huge golf fan, so we have some golf topics to touch on. And then Adam is our resident UFC guy.
Why don't you just go with sports entertainment? That sounds more
professional. Yeah. Adam is more of the sports entertainment. He's the one that keeps up with the whole UFC, WWE. You know, that's something that he keeps up on. So he is our resident sports entertainment guy. And I know he has something that he wants to touch on in the sports entertainment world. So we're going to get into that as well. So let's just touch base. Before we jump into the NBA Finals, there were some other NBA topics or headlines that have popped up. So first off, I want to touch on Adam just real, and we're going to touch on all these really briefly. So the one thing I want to touch on also first is before the NBA Finals started, we had Adam Silver come out and talk briefly about some new findings and new developments they may have found out in the John Morant. Basically, he's saying, you know, basically some things he was unaware of, and that basically there is going to be a suspension that comes down, but he didn't want to take anything away from the NBA Finals. So after the NBA Finals conclude, Adam Silver is going to announce what his suspension is going to be, which I think is kind of funny. He's like, I don't want to take anything away from the finals. But yet when you say stuff like that and you prolong what will likely be a long suspension, honestly, you're kind of still taking away from the NBA finals. But, you know, whatever. So, real briefly, Adam, so we're going to find out how much John Morant's going to get suspended. So just what do you think that ultimately is going to be the suspension is going to be?
It should be a year.
You think it's going to be a year?
It should be a year.
So it should be, but what do you think it probably is? Because I agree it should be a year, but I don't think it's going to be a year.
At least till after the All-Star break.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Because, I mean, how stupid do you have to be to get in trouble and get a lot of, like, bad rep for doing something and then going and doing it again after you've said, oh, I've gotten better and I've worked on myself, blah, blah, blah.
Which nobody was buying.
Yeah, I just don't understand. Like, the sky's the limit with the dude and he feels the need to express himself off the court in a negative manner. I just don't get it, but he should be suspended for a year, but I think he'll be more realistically half the season.
I agree.
I guess the All-Star break is like 2/3 of the season, isn't it?
Yeah, but basically he's going to miss the first 4 or 5 months of the season. So he should
have to go to a psychologist, and Meta World Peace should get his psychology degree very quickly so he could be his psychologist.
Wow, that would be interesting. That would be interesting, so that's for sure. So, yeah, we have Adam Silver coming out before the finals talking about the after the finals conclude, which may be tomorrow, that John Morant will be suspended for however many games. That's what we don't know. But you can speculate.
He also did, in that interview they did, not to cut you off, but he also talked about, like, ideas that the NBA has. Like, they're definitely going to go to a mid-season tournament.
Yeah, and I would like to get on. I would like to talk about another show because I feel like that's a long thing we could talk about. So that's something that I want to touch on more on a later episode because I have my thoughts about that, but we don't have enough time in the show to discuss that here. But let's put a bookmark on that.
All right, wait another month to talk about it.
How about we talk about it next week? All right, so let's tease that next week. So anyway, so we have John Morant teasing that. So that's
he needs help. Like, he needs some positive role models in his life or something. I don't know if the Grizzlies just don't have, like, a veteran leader. I mean, on the team. Like, I don't know who the veteran leader is in that organization, and they definitely need someone. Like, bring back Zach Randolph or something. Like, Z-Bo. I mean, Z-Bo. Bring back someone that can, like, put players in check and put people in check there. Because their egos were way too big for how their basketball play is on the court in the playoffs.
Yeah, absolutely. So we have that coming at the conclusion of the NBA Finals. Also, other news, start with recent, you know, kind of in order, per se. So we had Monty Williams get fired as a coach. And then they replace him with Frank Vogel, who was no one's pick between Adam and I. We had said Ty Lung Lu. Coach K, which I was not buying at all. We threw out all these names that possibly could replace him.
Coach K is more believable than Frank Vogel, though.
Yeah, I mean, but like I was just saying, between you and I, that was not someone that we thought was even going to be. I never even thought about him. Yeah. So Frank Vogel took over. I immediately texted Adam. I said, Adam, what you feeling this? Adam said, stupid. And I agree. I think Frank, I mean, he did win a championship, obviously.
To win that championship.
Yeah.
Who were his assistant coaches? He had Jason Kidd. Mm-hmm. He had, what's the guy's name? He used to coach the Grizzlies, like back in the early 2000s or mid 2000s.
I know you're talking about.
They had they had someone else too that was like very touted coach. But they had a great assistant, a team of coaches. He didn't do anything. They had the talent to win it, and that's what won it. His coaching had nothing to do with that.
Yeah, but you can make the talent. I mean, you can make the case that, I mean, just because you have talent doesn't mean you win championships. I mean,
in that case, yes, that's what happened.
I mean, in that case, yeah. I'm just saying. Otherwise, you know, Steve Kerr would win more championships, and then you would have the Suns would have won the championship if it was all about talent. But so yeah, he got released, or Vogel steps in, and then just what was it last week? They announced that they're going to be waiving Chris Paul. So Chris Paul is going to be finding, he's going to be one of the more sought out free agents this year. So let's start with that real quick. Where do you think, in a brief, where do you think Chris Paul ends up?
Where I want him to go is different than where I think he's going to go. Which okay, one do you want first?
Well, I'm going to try to make a prediction. I want to say you want him to go back to OKC.
No, I think he should go back to New Orleans.
Okay. I can see that. And then where do you think he's going to go?
He should go back to New Orleans because he can do no wrong there. Like, and there, people don't think about that. With him being the point guard, that puts McCollum at the two, Herb Jones at the three, Ingram at the four, and Zion at the five if they want to play that lineup. I mean, and then they've got Jonas Valanciunas who could start. Like, that's a good team. That's a really good team if they're all healthy. But that's his biggest issue. But I think more realistically, he goes to one of the two LA teams.
And I think I'm with you there. I think he should go to – I think that we keep talking about all the time. I think maybe this is finally the time that he goes with LeBron and teams up with him and tries to get a ring. So I think that's where he's logically going to go. I don't think he's going to go to the Clippers because who wants to go to the Clippers? Because then that team's going to be even more of a mess. You have the health questions of Kawhi. Then you have the health questions of Paul George. Then you have the health issues of Chris Paul. That's just a fucking disaster.
But so you know, I don't think they still have.
Oh wait, you're gonna say your boy Westbrook?
Russell Westbrook.
Okay, so how's that? Well, I mean, is Westbrook gonna come off the bench again?
No, he moves to the two.
Yeah, I don't think it doesn't matter. The Clippers are never gonna win a ring, so it doesn't matter. So they're always gonna be the laughing stock of LA or the basement. You know, I guess they're moving out of the basement soon and getting their own place eventually. But they're building a stadium right next to the Lakers' old arena. So they're in the way, they're still living in the shadow.
Oh, right just next like, to the Forum?
Yeah, right next to the Forum is where they're building their new stadium, which they're not going to have anyone to fill those seats because Kawhi and Paul George aren't going to be, if they're even still on the team, they're not going to be available enough to put seats in this, butts no, in the seats.
Actually, you know where another place I'd like to see Chris Paul go?
What's that?
It'd be very interesting is San Antonio.
I guess with him and Victor and – yeah. I mean, I don't know. I just don't think that Paul George is going to be someone who's an impact player. I don't think if – you know, in my opinion, I don't think Paul George is that missing piece to a championship team.
Chris Paul.
I just don't. Or Chris Paul, sorry. Yeah. But, I mean – even Chris Paul, I just don't think at this point in his age and his availability, I don't think it's like I don't think it just immediately like even if he goes to LA, I don't think whoop that's it they win the championship because of his health. Now if he stays healthy, sure. I mean I can see him being a nice contributor, but that's the thing, his health. I mean the history's on the wall. Like it just shows that he's not going to stay healthy a whole year. So that's why it's something that's intriguing and it's cool, but ultimately you don't know what you're getting exactly. So, let's see. Then, the Bucks, they hired a new coach, Adrian Griffin, which no one, I can't speak for you, Adam. I never heard of a guy. He was the assistant coach with the Toronto Raptors. So I had never heard of him. I know when I texted Adam what his thoughts were, he said, Giannis is gone. But unless Giannis, if you're trying to keep your superstar happy, you have to get the okay with him. So you have to kind of maybe give the benefit of the doubt that maybe Giannis okayed this. But
Giannis is gone, or they're going to make significant changes and getting players that Giannis wants to play with.
Yeah. So we'll see what that happens. I still think the Bucks are going to be one of the top two or three teams in the East next year. But I think that's not due to – I'm not to say that the coach is not going to have some part in it, but the majority of that is going to be because of Giannis and Jrue Holiday and Lopez and, you know, all that. But Middleton. I don't know. We'll see. Middleton. So we'll see. We'll see what happens with that. None of the hires that we were talking about were sexy hires. You know, none of them were big names that we thought.
There's three more, though, that we got to hit, because after that happened, Monty Williams went to the Detroit Pistons and is the highest paid coach in NBA history.
Yeah, which that blows my mind. And then what else do we have?
I think that's a great hire for them, because he can
players.
Right. They have a decent young core, and they got another top 10 draft pick this year.
That's right. And then you have Nick Nurse going to the Sixers, which kind of a shocking hire. We'll see how that will. The biggest question is really whether or not the Sixers hang on to James Harden or not. You know, whether there's a lot of talk that James Harden may go back to Houston. We'll see if that comes to fruition, but we'll see. So, Adam, let me just say before we move on, of all of the hires that have happened so far.
The Raptors hired Darko Rajakovic, I think, yesterday.
I missed that. I missed that one. That one, Phil, I did not hear about that one.
So that makes them immediate sellers. So they're going to be getting rid of Pascal Siakam and Fred VanVleet. So they're in rebuild mode.
So of all the hires that have happened, which one do you think is going to be – now, and take aside of what the superstars are there, because obviously that's a given. But take away the superstar situations. Which of those coaches do you think could have the biggest impact of a turnaround? I think it's I think potentially it could be Monty Williams in Detroit. I like that hire. Because they do have some young talent in Detroit. So I think that one could be it. I think maybe you could see Detroit battling for a play-in position within the next year or two. But that's my opinion. What about you?
Okay, so throw Ime Udoka and Houston in that conversation. Does that change your answer?
No. Mm-hmm. Because I don't really think – not to say Ime was not a good coach, but I think that was more of a talent situation. We'll see. We'll see how good of a coach he is when you
like. He's a better coach than Mazzulla is.
I mean, you won't get any arguments there. But I mean, outside of what Jalen Green, I mean, what other, you know, what talent do you have there?
They have Kevin Porter Jr.
I guess that's right.
I mean, he was like the number two pick in the draft maybe 5 or 6 years ago. I think he was with Cleveland and got traded to Houston. They're probably going to try to make some moves to get players to go there.
Like I said, they may get James Harden.
But outside of all that, to answer your question, I don't care if they're superstars or not involved. Monty Williams is the best hire.
Yeah, I would agree.
He's going to – that the East is – it's not top-heavy anymore, I don't think. I think there's like five teams in the East right now, maybe six, that you could pose an argument for that could win the East. I mean, you got Philly, Boston, you've got Milwaukee, you've got Miami.
Cleveland's up and coming.
You've got the Knicks.
Yeah, that's questionable. So. But, you know, Adam is our resident.
Well, you know, they're going to get Dame Lillard, so.
No, they're not. Adam is in this dream world that they're going to get – anytime they think they're going to get a superstar in the offseason, they never do. So, but, yeah, anyway. So, yeah, you're right, though. I do like the Monty Williams hire. So, I think that's going to be the biggest
I mean, you can see this. They got – who's their guys? They got Jalen Duran – or no, Jalen Ivey. Duran, I can't remember his first name. They have the guy from Oklahoma State, the rookie of the year 2 years ago, Cade Cunningham. Mm-hmm. They got a nice little team. And, I mean, they can – I think they'll make a run in a couple of years. And they paid him for, I think, what is it, 6 or 7 years, 100-plus million?
Yeah, they also have James Wiseman.
Wiseman, they're out, they traded for him.
They have Bohan Bogdanovic. They have Isaiah Stewart, Marvin Bagley.
Stewart's the one they got in the fight with LeBron a couple of years ago, right?
Yep. Then they have Alex Burke. Yeah. So, yeah, shout out to Alex Burke. He is a resident of Olathe, Kansas, where I currently reside. So I found that. What did you say?
I saw that today, actually.
Yeah, I did too. I was looking at Casey Lowell or whatever.
And then they had all the players there from like Kansas City or Missouri. Yeah, I saw.
Yeah, there were two players from the 08 area, which I was not aware of. So I had to ask my father-in-law if he remembers some of these players when he first moved here. Bobo, he did.
The other one, right?
Yeah, Bobo.
The new Bolson. That's a weird situation.
But he was actually in the Overland Park area, which is like 10-15 minutes from 08. So
I think James Earl Robinson, he plays for the Thunder. He was on that list. Alec Burke, like you said.
They had Tyronn Lue as a coach, but he's actually more from Mexico, Missouri. Not from the – they had him from Grandview, Missouri or something like that, and that was incorrect. But anyway, we're going to get into that later on the show about potential teams coming, and that's where that came up. But so before we move on, anything else you want to touch on, any of the hiring pickups, acquisitions?
Anything NBA besides hiring? I mean, Carmelo retired.
Yeah, I mean, but I already thought he kind of retired. He hadn't played over a year. I always think that's kind of funny when players don't play for 2 or 3 years.
Dude, would, like, you, well, would you shut up? That's so.
And then, would you? And then they're like, I'm just saying. I'm just saying. I think that's hilarious. Don't I'm officially stop. Retiring. It's like you haven't played in 3 years. I mean.
Stop. Did you watch the video that he posted? His retirement video.
Briefly, but I think it's just funny. I'm not saying all together in Carmelo's, but I just think it's funny. I played in 3 years. I'm officially retiring. I'm like, we already assumed that you retired. What do you mean you retired?
Is he a first ballot Hall of Famer?
I mean, I've already said this over and over. Now, in this case, I can see the case for Carmelo, but he probably will be, and that's.
So, but, if you're a top 10 scorer of all time, that doesn't garner you being a first ballot Hall of Famer.
No, I'm not saying – I'm saying a Carmelo, I can see yes. But I just think in general, I think I've said this before in numerous past episodes, the NBA Hall of Fame is a joke. They let anybody in. But I will say that Carmelo is definitely deserving of the Hall of Fame more than any other people they've let in recently. But that's for another show as well. But, yes, he is deserving, and he probably will be a first ballot Hall of Famer, and you won't get any arguments from me. So – I just think
it was really cool because he was passing the torch to his son in a sense.
I will say that from all the expectations that he had coming into the NBA, I'd say he probably fell short of some of those expectations. He finished top 10 in scoring, and that's great. And that's not something to laugh at or anything like that, but he never got close to winning an NBA title. And you know, he only had that one good run in Denver, made it to the Western Conference Finals. When he came to Denver, to New York, that team really didn't live up to expectations. So you can say that he didn't, you know, he didn't really fully fulfill all the expectations coming out of college. At one point, you know, in that same high school year, LeBron was in high school. Carmelo, not LeBron, was the number one high school player in the country. And his high school team actually beat LeBron pretty bad in 1 year. But LeBron is the one that I don't think is arguable. You can argue had the better career than Carmelo.
Well, even though he's 1 year older than Carmelo or than LeBron because he went to college for a year.
Well, that's true. I mean, I would say that he achieved more in college than he ever did in an NBA. And so, I mean, at least in college, he won a national championship. And, you know, he's player of the year, all that other stuff. But
I don't think that's fair to say that's achieving more than what he did in the NBA.
I'm just saying, I mean, like, he didn't win rookie of the year. Obviously, that went to LeBron. He never won a title.
Yeah, LeBron was going to get rookie of the year even if his numbers were average.
Okay, I mean, I see it, but just saying.
Like, Rimbignano is going to probably get it next year, even though Holmgren's going to give him a good run for his money.
I mean, you're right, but all I'm saying is I would say that Carmelo underachieved a little bit in the pros. But that's my opinion. So
he did to an extent, but he never had a shot with any of the teams he's on because they never had solid coaching. I always said with him, he had to have like a very vocal coach and a leader that the players galvanized around. I don't think he ever had that coach. He didn't have it with George Karl. George Karl's an idiot. He didn't have it with Woodson in New York. He didn't have it with Billy Donovan here for sure. That was terrible. He didn't have it with the Lakers when they had Vogel. He didn't have it in Portland really with Terry Stotts. He was only there for a small period of time. I'd say that was his best coach he probably had. He didn't have it for Atlanta for the 5 seconds he was on that team.
Yeah, that's funny. Oh, man.
I think that's a huge thing with him, for sure.
Let me ask you this question, though. I mean, I saw this online. Who did the Denver Nuggets retire? 15 for Anthony or 15 for Jokic?
Jokic. Yeah, but Carmelo was, out of every team he played for, no matter what happened, his number is always to be retired as a Nick. Doesn't matter.
But that does kind of bring up an interesting potential situation. If, like, let's say they're like, we're going to retire Carmelo's jersey. It's like, wait, but Jokic plays 15. Like, that'd be kind of weird. You might have a situation to retire two of the same numbers on the same team. That'd be kind of funny.
Yeah, but I mean, the number still can't be worn because it's retired by some one or two people. So.
Yeah, but as we've seen in NFL, the jerseys can be unretired. You know, cough, cough, Michael Irvin, his jersey was unretired and now is worn by Lamb. So, you know, just saying.
Yeah, his but, would be in Madison Square Garden in the rafters, without a doubt.
I mean, you're probably not wrong. So, you know, shout out.
I just wish that it would have been 15, but I'm pretty sure the number 15 is already retired with the Knicks, so that's why I switched to 7.
Right. Well, shout out to Carmelo. I know that was a sad day for you.
I'm happy for him.
Because, well, I know that you personally had your own little raising the jersey to the rafters of your closet. You did one of those little commemorative retirements for Carmelo, if I'm not mistaken.
I did that, and then I also took all my Syracuse stuff and faced it the opposite way and put it on some rack too. So.
Yeah, because if you're new to the show, Adam is no longer a Syracuse Orange fan. So if you want to know why, watch a previous episode about his rant about that. But
and it was crazy because on the episode we did at your house, I'm pretty sure I talked about he deserved a shot in the league, and then not even a week later or 2 weeks later, he's retired.
Yeah, so maybe other teams didn't agree with that. He said, "Well, I guess I'm retiring." So I think it was more of a forced retirement than he wanted to retire. That's just
did he deserve to be picked third or second over Darko Milicic?
I mean, well, yeah, that's a given. That's a given. So, okay. But
or would you have taken Dwayne Wade second?
Probably. Honestly, if you're being honest with you, I probably would have taken Dwayne. But
I think you take.
I mean, that's just me. I mean, but you know, most people also thought, you know. The Trailblazers also thought that Greg Oden was going to be a better pick than Kevin Durant. So
who was the number 4 pick in that draft?
Let's see. So LeBron was one. Well, damn, you didn't give me a second. But,
I didn't think you knew.
I would have got to it because I was pretty sure. But so yeah. Anyway, so shout out to Carmelo. Congrats to a nice career. Hopefully, I'm sure. I bet you $5 we'll see him somewhere on the television. Doing analyst somewhere, so I'm sure.
I don't think that's him.
You don't think so? Okay. Well, you know, we're probably going to see a son, you know, up and coming. So we'll see his son. From what I've been seeing on YouTube, is pretty good player. So we'll probably see, maybe make him an appearance in the NBA one day. So the Carmelo Anthony name will live on. So we'll see. But anyway, so let's move on to what's going on currently. That's the NBA Finals. Whereas the Nuggets have a chance to wrap up the NBA Finals tomorrow in Denver. They're up 3-1. I was talking with Dan, and I'll be completely honest with you. I have not had a chance to watch a lot of these NBA Finals due to wedding and honeymoon, et cetera, et cetera. But I will say I kind of feel like this series is going as I expected. For those of you who didn't know, so Adam and I had made our predictions before the NBA Finals. Adam said the Heat in 7. And he said that Jimmy Butler was going to be the MVP, but honorary MVP would be Udonis Haslem. I said it was going to be the Nuggets in 5, and then I said Jamal Murray would be the finals MVP. So obviously I'm the one that's looking the best right now. I will say the series is over, but obviously LeBron and the Cavs came back from a 3-1 lead, so I guess it's not impossible.
But to be fair, we also have not been loyal fans and watched most of the series, as we were talking about. I've only seen the first two games. Yeah. I haven't seen the last two.
I'll be honest with you, and I'll be honest with our listeners. I'll be honest, I was not really intrigued by this finals at all, because I just figured it was gonna be what it is. I mean, I figured, like, there was a couple games. There was one game where it was, like, super competitive, but for the most part, the Nuggets have controlled this whole series. Jokic has been dominating. Jamal Murray has been dominating. This has not been the best series for
Game two,
Jimmy Butler.
Game two, Miami did enough to win. Denver lost that game.
Yeah, yeah. A lot of people would agree with Adam there that it wasn't so much that the Heat pulled it out. The Nuggets just kind of let off the gas and let them get back in the game. And I would agree with that. So I think, I mean, Jimmy Butler has not played like playoff Jimmy. Max Strus, I mean, he's been playing terrible. He threw up a zero in what, game two?
Game one.
So he had 0 points. Everything's just been clicking for the Nuggets. I mean, the only person that's kind of been struggling for the Nuggets is Michael Porter Jr. And that's kind of sad because he's a local kid to where Adam and I grew up. He's kind of been a liability to them. But this series, I mean, Jokic has been dominating. Ab and I were talking about a stat that so far in this playoffs, he's the first player in playoff history to 500 points, 250 rebounds, and 150 assists, which is pretty incredible. The incredible thing about that is it's not like all this series so far in the playoffs, they've been going extinct. Like, they've been beating – five games in one series, a total sweep against the Lakers. And, like, so it's not like, you know, it's not like each series has gone 7 games. Like, they've played very minimum games, and he's putting up these numbers. It's pretty incredible. So it's looking like, unless a miracle happens, the Nuggets are going to be the champion.
What's Denver's biggest problem? We've talked about it on the show and off the show.
Their inability to close games.
Correct. And you really have faith that they're going to close out in Denver tomorrow?
I'll be honest with you. I'm going to throw a little respect to the Heat. I'm going to give them a game tomorrow. I looked at the spread right now. So the spread right now is 9.5 for the Nuggets. I think the Heat are a plus 320. So basically betting $5 to win you 15. I'm planning on taking that bet. I'm going to take the Heat straight up to win that game tomorrow. I think that's the only game they win going further in the series. So I'll say my prediction is going to be off. Instead of 5, I think it's going to be 6. But I still think my prediction of who's going to be a Finals MVP and Jamal Murray, I think that's looking realistic at this point. So
going to Jokic.
I mean, probably will, because obviously Jokic is the leader, but you can make a strong case Jamal Murray is just as deserving as the MVP. Adam, you're the guy, you're the resident guy here that took the Heat in 7. I got to think that you're not feeling confident in that, right?
I mean, we've seen teams come back from 3-1 in the finals before. And when I say teams, I mean one.
I was going to say teams. Can you say one as being teams?
And they have a player that was a part of that team on the Miami Heat. I don't think they lose tomorrow for sure. I mean.
Wait, who is that player?
Kevin Love.
Okay, yeah. You're right. Yeah.
I don't think they lose tomorrow. And all you have to do is win one game to stay alive.
You're right.
But with all that being said, Jokic is just – He's so much the best player in the league, and it's really showing now. And there's no way that anyone that watches him play can sit here and say that he's not the best player in the league.
I agree. He's definitely top three. I still think, if you're making me choose, I still think Giannis is one of the best, is probably the best player in the league, in my opinion. But Jokic is right there. Like, I won't argue with anybody that says Jokic is the best player. Like, you won't get – like, I'll be like, okay, I can see your point. But I still think, if you're making me choose, if you want me to start a franchise with anybody in the league, I would say Giannis would be my number one pick. But Jokic would be a 1A. I would agree.
I think I'd go Jokic with my number one pick.
And where were you, just for the hell of it, where would Giannis be?
Giannis would be probably number two.
Okay. All right. See, we don't differ too much there. I don't think you go wrong either way.
And then Westbrook, tried number three.
No, well, Giannis wouldn't. I hope so. I was like, Westbrook wouldn't even be in my top 30. I think I'm with you.
I'm gonna say Denver's gonna win the series, but I think it's gonna go to six games. Okay. But I gotta stick with my pick in Miami. I'm not gonna jump to the Nuggets and say that I'm gonna pick that, but I see that happening.
I'll make you a deal, Adam. If the Heat become the second team to come back 3-1, the next time you and I are in the same city, dinner is on me. So, dinner of your choice.
Like,
we're talking about
how many dollar signs are we talking for dinner? Like on a 1 to 5 scale, is it like $1 sign or?
I'll tell you what. I'll give you a limit up to $100.
Okay.
So, because I feel like for something monumental like that, I have to spoil you a little bit because you deserve it.
But I mean, like Bam Adebayo is so frustrating because like you'll watch him and he can't do anything right on the court. And then there's moments where he does everything right and is a great defender, a great screen setter, a great facilitator, a great shooter. He's just so inconsistent. And I think Butler is just running out of gas, which is what happened in the bubble when they lost to the Lakers.
Yeah, I agree.
But they have the experience and they have the players that can for sure win tomorrow and then make it interesting in Miami.
I just think that the Heat they have the one great player and then they have a bunch of role players. And if you're relying on a bunch of role players to get you home, I just don't think that's a way you're going to win championships. I mean, the Nuggets have Jamal Murray, who's also like, he's not up there with Jokic, but you know, he's like a star. Like he's not a superstar, but he's a star. Then they have like someone like Michael Porter Jr. He hasn't lived up to his star, but Michael Porter has the potential of being a star. But like who on the Heat do you say could have the potential of being a star outside of Butler? In my opinion, nobody. A lot of people like Tyler Hero, but like I don't think even if Tyler Hero was playing in this series, I don't think a Tyler Hero is enough to shift the series in Miami's favor, if you're asking me. So I just think that's what it comes down to is if you're making deep postseason runs, it's all about stars and superstars. And
so if the Heat had one of their two players that are injured, would either one of them move the needle between Tyler Hero and Victor Oladipo?
I mean, I think it would give them one additional game. I think it might be 3-2 instead of 3-1. But would I still take them to win the series? No, I don't. Because the Heat or the Nuggets have just been the better team all year overall. And again, they have better stars and they have the best superstar on the court. So, I would still take the Nuggets even if it was a healthy Tyler Hero. And if they had, you know, I would have taken same. I would have still take the same outcome, but I may have just instead of five games, I would have said Nuggets in six. So that's just me. So, I'll go with you. I'll say they win tomorrow, them being the Heat. But it just sucks because then the Heat have to lose the title on their home floor, and that kind of sucks. So if I'm the Nuggets, you just win tomorrow because nothing's better than winning home floor. So that's what
I think they kind of succumb to the pressure of winning. I really do. Why they can't close games like that. Cause the games that they've won, they pretty much if you look at the stat lines, they've pretty much controlled and dictated the game. So they didn't, the games weren't close, but they blow my mind with some of the dumb stuff that they do when a game's close or if they can try to, if they're leading by at least 6 to 10, they tend to blow those leads.
Well, all the pressure is on the Nuggets to wrap up the series. And if you're the Heat, you're just going out there and throwing your best shot. So all the Heat, ironically, is on the Nuggets to close it out. So we'll see if they get it done. They better close out tomorrow because if you don't close it out tomorrow and the Heat somehow win game six at home, all the pressure's on the Nuggets to win game seven on their floor. So they better win tomorrow.
And when you have the best the coach with the best hair in the league in Spoelstra, it's always a possibility.
And I'll be honest with you, if they somehow force a game seven, my wallet will be a little scared that maybe I will have to owe Adam a $100 meal. So I have more reason to cheer for the Nuggets now because I would hate to have to cough up that kind of money to Adam. But if I
So that's, is that $100 like just for me?
Well, yeah.
$100. Oh, man. Okay. All right.
So that's you know, entrees, that's, you know, main course, that's dessert, you know, whatever it is, all on me. So it's $100. Some adult beverages, so you can have a couple drinks on me. Just it can't exceed over $100, which means I'm just going to be having something on the kids menu that day, so to offset some of the price.
wherever we go, if that happens, we also get to tell them that it's your birthday.
Oh, Lord, as long as it's not Texas Roadhouse and I have to ride the damn bull or something. So, word, Adam. So, if it happens, whether I come to you or you come to me, dinner is on me if that happens. So, and you know what? Feel free to not go over that limit. I'm just saying you have a limit of 100, but doesn't mean you know, you could just be nice and just stay underneath it, but, you know. But, you know, I don't have to worry about that because you're not going to get there. It's not going to happen. But you know what? You'll deserve it if you call it. But moving on, though, we're going to stay with the NBA. So there have been another thing that Adam Silver has been kind of addressing is possible expansion as early as 2024. So there are a couple teams that have been in talks for a long time, like Vegas. Seattle's been in talk for a long time, ever since they lost the Supersonics to Oklahoma City, where Adam resides. Another city's been thrown there is Kansas City. Even St. Louis has been kind of thrown in there. There's been some other cities thrown in there. So, Adam, I'm going to ask you two questions. First one being, what is the most likely city or cities that you think is going to be an expansion team? And then the follow-up question is, what is a city that you would like to have a team, but more likely will not, at least not in the coming years?
It's probably Vegas and Seattle. I mean, the NBA has done everything but promise, like with a pinky's promise to the Seattle market that they're going to get a team when it happens. Because, I mean, they had a great fan base, and they can support a team there. And then Vegas is for sure probably going to get one. No. I mean, that's a given also. But I mean, Kansas City is very deserving of one too, especially if they can be relevant still with the Chiefs and everything. And the Sprint Center is a great arena. It's a very nice arena.
They built that arena in hoping to get an NBA team.
Well, and I like it better than the what's the one in St. Louis? Is it the Scott Trade Center?
I don't know what the current name is. They've gone through some names. I don't think it's the Scott Trade anymore, but I know which one you're referencing.
But it used to be like the Kiel Center back in the day.
Yeah, like I said, it's gone through a few names, so I'm not sure what the current name is.
But I'm going to go with Vegas and Seattle. Who do you got?
Yeah, I'm with you. I mean, Vegas is the hot name because, you know, I mean, that's where all the new teams are going. I mean, they got the NHL.
It's called the Enterprise Center.
Okay, yeah, that's what it is.
That makes sense. Enterprise headquarters is in St. Louis. But anyway, continue.
Right. So, I mean, they first got – I mean, we knew – I mean, they're going to get it. I mean, it first started with the Vegas Golden Knights, the NHL. Then they got the
– probably.
What's that?
They're probably about to win the Stanley Cup also.
Right. And they're an expansion team within the last few years. So that's pretty exciting for them. Then they just got – then they got a WNBA team in the Aces. Then they just got the Raiders. So LeBron's already come out and said that he wants to own a team in Vegas. So, I mean, Vegas is – that's the hottest place to go right now. I mean, like, you know, I knew there for a while there was a lot of fear about putting a team in Vegas due to betting. Obviously, they don't care about that anymore. So Vegas is the new hot spot. So Vegas is for sure getting it.
That WNBA team too, the Aces, they got three stars on that team with Candace Parker, who they traded for in the offseason, Asia Wilson, and Kelsey Plum.
And isn't that kind of great? Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you. Go ahead. What are you saying?
No. Go ahead.
I was going to say, and obviously it's paying off for them so quickly. I mean, obviously, like I said, the Golden Knights are likely about to win the Stanley Cup. The Las Vegas Aces have already won a WNBA title. And then, I mean, so obviously those expansions have already paid off already. It's like, well, damn, they just moved to Las Vegas and they're already, you know, winning titles. So that's good.
They're getting the athletics too.
What's that? Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up. And now it's pretty much a foregone conclusion that the Oakland A's are going to go to Las Vegas. So, I mean, it's just they're going to just, you know, Vegas is hot right now. So
Can I just say something, too, about that those arenas in Oakland, the Oracle and the Coliseum or wherever the fucking Raiders used to play in the Athletics play. Yeah.
The Coliseum.
No, I don't think it's the Coliseum. That's in L.A.
No, it was also called the Coliseum, though. It was called the Oakland Coliseum.
Huh. I guess I was right then. That both arena, the arena and the field or the stadium are terrible. Like, they are garbage. So I don't blame any team for not wanting to play there.
You know what the crazy thing is like, I never liked the idea of football stadiums and baseball, like, sharing stadiums. Like, I think it's just kind of a weird concept. Remember when the Raiders used to play there and you would like half the field would be like dirt because of the baseball? Like, that was so tacky in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree. I'm not a fan of that either.
Yeah, but I agree. You know, and the only thing I found ironic is the Raiders team owner criticized Oakland A's for leaving. I'm like, wait, didn't you just do that? I mean, I thought that was
Mark Davis funny. Is Al Davis' son. He's there up there with the Joneses. So,
yeah, right. I just thought that was pretty funny. So, yeah, I mean, like, I think Seattle is definitely a team that was always going to get one because obviously, you know, they're a little hurting as they should be losing the Supersonics to Oklahoma City just after they got Kevin Durant. Then they're like, well, we're leaving. So you get this night, you get this great up and coming superstar. They only got to see what, 1 year, and then they moved to Oklahoma City. So they're definitely you could tell when that happened. There was always a promise, like you said, like little pinky promises. We're going to get you back. And you know they should. But I think the next third team should be up because it should be Kansas City. A little bit has to be biased because I live in the Kansas area. I would be 45 minutes away from an NBA team, which would be awesome to me because I love going to NBA games. The only bad thing is they're out of all the major sports, they're one of the more expensive tickets to go to. So that's the only knock on the NBA. It's a little bit harder to afford.
Would you not have to pick like an Eastern Conference team though too?
Right. Yeah.
So if that has to be done, I'm pretty sure both the East and the West have to have the same or equal amount of teams, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, you'd have to, like, consider an East Coast area because, I mean, Kansas City, that's not East. That's more West.
Yeah.
So that would be a lot of traveling. I mean, if we're going to go with the East team, I could probably see or East City.
What do you think about a big city getting just a second team? Like, you know, baseball has two – you know, baseball in New York, they have two teams in the baseball, you know, like – or, you know, do you see like a current city getting a second team, or do you think that only works in baseball?
I mean, the Knicks and Nets are in New York. The Heat and the Magic are in Florida. Then you got what, four California teams?
Like, what do you think about
it? I get what you're saying.
You know, but what do you think another team in like Chicago?
No, or, I don't like that idea.
No, I'm just thinking because it has to be a big market to get two teams. So that's why I said Chicago.
Maybe you move like a Minnesota to the East and do two West teams.
Yeah.
Cause I mean, I'm not pinpointing a city that I think is deserving of a team that could support a team.
Yeah. Yeah. I'd agree. But I mean, I would say I would love to see Kansas City.
Now, you know, okay. If I had to pick a city to get a second team, probably DC. Washington, D.C.
Really?
I can see that happening.
Here's what I think. I mean, I can even see like Tampa Bay getting a team because obviously Toronto played in Tampa Bay during COVID. So maybe a team in Tampa Bay. Yeah, obviously they have major teams already in the Lightning. They have the Buccaneers. So I see, but I don't know if Florida needs another team. But I would say the most likely outside of those two teams is going to be Kansas City. They're the third most favorable odds. I mean, I think when you got a player like Patrick Mahomes, he has a lot of influence in that town. I mean, there's been talks that Patrick Mahomes is trying to get an NHL franchise here. And so if Patrick Mahomes can pull that off, if Patrick Mahomes wants an NBA team, I bet he can get strong enough supported to get it here. I mean,
yeah, I think St. Louis will put up the money since they lost the Rams.
I have heard that too, but I don't know if I don't I just don't. I just don't see that happening. I don't think. I mean, they used to, of course. They had the Spirits back in the ABA days and all that stuff that.
They also had the Hawks were there for a while.
Yeah, right. So
Kansas City had the Kings.
Right, exactly. But I've been seeing as far as between Kansas City and St. Louis, I've been seeing that Kansas City has the greater odds than St. Louis.
Oh, yeah. But one of the hottest cities in the nation right now.
I mean, it's the largest.
I'm not trying to cut you off again, but Nashville, I can see them getting a team.
I mean, there's been talks about that too, about Nashville getting an expansion team too. I can see that. I think Nashville, in my opinion,
and you just went there. You think the city would get would
galvanize? I mean, they definitely have the tourists to fill the stands. They definitely have the energy. I'll be honest with you, and my wife will agree with this. We thought Nashville. I've driven several times, but I've never actually stopped there. I would have to say Nashville is one of the most overrated cities in the U.S. In my opinion, we stayed in Nashville for one day and we were over it. Mind you, I'm not much. I'm obviously anyone who knows Nashville, it's a country town, country music, all that stuff. I am not a country music fan. And obviously I was with my pregnant wife. I don't drink. She can't drink. So we can't partake in any of that fun. I just think that Nashville is a very overrated city. It's a cool city. There's a lot of energy. There's a lot of excitement, and that's cool. But I think it's very overrated. That's in my opinion. It sounds like Adam disagrees, and that's fine.
I'm just saying, wow.
Yeah. I that's just my opinion. I would not go back to Nashville for a vacation. I just would not. So. But that no knock on anyone who's watching, listening to this show that's from Nashville, no disagreement, nothing like that. But I just think that Nashville is not for me. But so I would say again, I'm gonna say Kansas City. It's a very, as Adam said, it's a very up and coming city right now with all the excess of the Chiefs. Patrick Mahomes has a lot of weight here. Patrick Mahomes
Shaquille O'Neal has a barbecue restaurant in the airport.
He does. We just got a brand new airport. I mean, Patrick Mahomes had enough levers to get Whataburger here. Obviously he's got some influence in this town. His wife was able to get a women's MLS team here. And then also get them building a new stadium here. So they have a lot of influence around this city. So, and like I already mentioned, I've been hearing that Patrick Mahomes just trying to get an NHL expansion team here. So I didn't know that Patrick Mahomes was a hockey fan, but apparently he is. But I just think right now Kansas City is hot right now. And so why not? I mean, the Royals are going to be moving to downtown Kansas City. So you're going to already have a brand new stadium in baseball in the next 5 to 10 years. So why not? And you won't even have to build the new stadium. Like some of these cities you're going to have to move in. Well, I think the Seattle has a stadium, but some of these new teams are probably going to have to build new stadiums. Like, we already have a stadium in downtown Kansas City. You don't have to do
Vegas won't. Vegas has a T-Mobile Arena. Seattle has whatever the Key Center used to be, the Supersonics.
It's like the climate change arena or something like that. But the point is like, I'm talking about it outside of Seattle and Las Vegas, who already have, places already there. You ain't got to do it. But I would assume some of these cities – are going to have to build stadiums, which is going to come out of taxpayers' money. I'm not trying to get all political or anything, but that's the reality of it.
I mean, Nashville has where the Predators play in the NHL, so they have an arena there.
Right, right. But I just don't think if you're comparing hotness right now, I think Kansas City is a lot more hot on the scale than Nashville. Just for that, you know, the Titans aren't really relevant right now. I'm not a big hockey fan, but I know the Predators are not the hot team right now. I mean,
they're a top three or four team in the East.
Okay. Well, okay. See, again, I'm not a hockey fan, but I just think that, you know, Kansas City has all the majors, you know, they have the soccer, you know, they got all the hype right now with Patrick Mahomes. They have the World Cup coming in a couple of years. You know, you just got to strike with iron's hot. And I think that Kansas City, although I don't think it's going to be Kansas City, I already agree, it's Seattle, but I think that Kansas City makes the most sense. They've had an NBA team here before. Kansas City is centrally located where it could get a lot of teams, like, you know, it'll be pretty much the only professional team in the Midwest. So you're going to attract people from Iowa, Kansas, Missouri, Minnesota. I mean, I know Minnesota has one, but just, you know, Oklahoma, those who, you know, Oklahoma's not too far. You have Arkansas. So you have all these states
that are surrounded. Why would people from Oklahoma want to be a Kansas City fan when they have the Thunder?
Well, because, I mean, I don't know. Just because I'm just saying, man, maybe the people that live in Oklahoma, like towards the top of Oklahoma, they'll be closer to Kansas City than they are to Oklahoma City.
No, they wouldn't.
Yeah. Okay, I'm just saying that, you know. I'm just saying.
No one in Oklahoma wants to be a Kansas City basketball fan. We're going to be a great team here in like a year or two.
Okay, a year or two. Okay. But what I'm saying is like, I mean, but you never know. There's people that, like, if I moved to Oklahoma City, I wouldn't become an Oklahoma City fan.
Came here, you would.
I mean, but again, as soon as LeBron left, I would no longer be, you know. So I'm just saying that, I mean, not everybody that lives in Oklahoma City is a Thunder fan. They could be, I'm pretty damn sure there's people that are in your, probably that live in your neighborhood. You just don't know. They're Kansas City Royal fans, Kansas City Chiefs fans. So why would they not be a Kansas City, whatever the team name would be? That's all I'm saying.
We're closer to Dallas than we are Kansas City.
Okay, but again, you're not a Dallas fan, and you live in Oklahoma City, so.
Well, yeah, because we have a team here, so I'm an Oklahoma City fan.
I'm just saying, Adam, it's not out of the possibilities, man. I mean, so here I am. I mean, I live in Kansas, but yet I'm an Atlanta Falcons fan. Nothing, not even close to. I don't live anywhere close to Atlanta, but yet I'm an Atlanta fan. You know, that's just the reality. It doesn't make sense. We just you can't help who you like, but. Yeah, so I would love to see that. I want to see how soon they announce the team. But, yeah, I'm more curious of what the names would be. So what? Before I move on, what do you think a name would be? Like, take into account what they would be. Like, what do you think a Las Vegas team name would be and a Seattle team? Like, for instance, I like that the hockey team for Seattle is the Seattle Kraken. I think that's a badass name, and it fits, you know, where they live. What would be a cool, like, nickname or a team name for a Las Vegas team or a Seattle team? Like, do you think that the Seattle goes back to the Supersonics?
Yeah, they definitely do.
I'd see that. I can see that. I mean, just like Charlotte.
You have all the accolades for Seattle still here. So it would only make sense to go back to being the Sonics or the Supersonics and transition all that over. Plus, they had bad. Yeah. I love their logo when they played. They're one of my favorite. When they were a team, they're one of my favorite logos by far.
Yeah, I can see that. That just makes it easy to transition. I remember whenever the Bobcats or what was it, the Pelicans, they gave away the Hornets, and then Charlotte's like, we're going to go back to the Hornets. It just made sense. Just like, you know, if they do get a team, just go back to the Supersonics. I mean, the only thing is you can make the case if you want to sell more gear, maybe you don't, because you're going to have a lot of people that are still hanging on to the Supersonics gear. They're like, well, shit, I ain't got to buy new gear now.
I mean, you know? And then like Vegas, maybe like the Jokers or –
yeah, it's got to be gambling related.
Yeah.
So like the Las Vegas, well, that would like the Las Vegas jackpots, you know, or the Las Vegas what's a good card game to make it related?
That's what I'm saying, the Jokers.
Jokers or the Spades, Las Vegas Spades. No. Or the Las Vegas Clubs. No, that sounds like more of a soccer thing, like the club of Las Vegas, or I don't know. So, but
maybe,
we'll see.
Maybe you could do like the Lions or something like that. You could justify that, but I don't think that sounds very good.
Yeah.
I'd go for Jokers over anything.
Yeah, I would say that'd be cool. I would like that. So, all right. Let's see, Adam. We got a few more minutes here. I know there's two things you and I want to touch base on before we. So, real quickly. So, we obviously we're a podcast of our own. We would like to one day be as big as Undisputed and First Take, all those other shows. But one of the bigger names has been in the news the last few weeks, and that's Undisputed with Skip and Shannon. I don't know about you, Adam. I don't know how much you've watched Undisputed the last few years. For me, for a while, Undisputed was my number one podcast. I listened to it, I was at work, et cetera, et cetera. I've kind of transitioned to First Take because I kind of like how First Take has a lot more different, you know, they cover more topics. They have a lot more personalities on the show on a daily basis instead of just the two regulars each time. Because I like having fresher voices, and I like JJ Redick on the show. I think JJ Redick is fantastic. And obviously Stephen A, he makes news just because he always says the most loudest and outrandish stuff. But then I just think they have a lot more variety in topics, whereas Undisputed's more of Tom Brady, LeBron, Cowboys, and then they cycle through those same topics throughout the show. So that's why I'd be kind of transitioning more to First Take these days. But back to what I was going to say. So obviously Shannon has been bought out by Fox, and he's going to be leaving after the finals conclude. So in theory, this upcoming week could be the last time we ever see Shannon on Undisputed. So Adam, I want to ask you two questions. First one, how shocked were you to see Shannon leave? And then two, where do you think we ultimately see Shannon go, and who would you like to see him work with?
No, Shannon, that's been brewing for a long time. And then the DeMar Hamlin stuff, that kind of put it over the edge. And then Skip made like a comment about how like Shannon doesn't deserve to be in the Hall of Fame or something like that when he was talking about Tom Brady.
Well, like, no, he didn't say that. He said that basically that Tom Brady's still playing in the league because he worked harder than Shannon Sharp. Basically, you know, because and to Shannon's credit, the reason why he said he retired because he just couldn't do the meetings anymore and stuff like that. He basically said that Tom Brady would be a better player than Shannon Sharp would ever be. And I think that was out of bounds by him. I was just trying to put perspective what was actually said, but go ahead.
No, I'm not surprised though. He'll definitely, if he wants to get another job, people like Shannon Sharp a lot. I think he'll get another opportunity. And you said who would I like to see him with?
Yeah.
I mean, if you had two Shannon Sharps going at each other, that'd be pretty entertaining. Yeah. But I mean, he does have a brother, but
Sterling Sharp is who you're referencing.
Why don't you give me yours first? Let me think about that for a second.
Okay, so first off, I was not shocked by this. Anyone who watched the show knew the show's been really awkward in the sense after that DeMar Hamlin. The only thing that I was a little shocked by was he recently, in the last few months, did a talk radio show with Mad Dog Russo. And Mad Dog Russo even addressed that same thing about the tension between him and Skip. And he said he didn't want to be one of these shows that just ended on disagreement. So he said that him and Skip got in the room and worked out their differences, and because they knew they were great. And so after that, I was like, oh shit, the shit's squashed. It's good. But apparently maybe it wasn't as much as he said. The thing I find interesting is, and that just shows, I guess, their professionalism. If you watch the show now, even after the news is broke, you would think nothing's going on. Some people would reference, like, that's how bad the beef is, the fact that they're acting like nothing's going on. So I was a little shocked in that sense after I heard the interview that maybe they had squashed it. But I'm not surprised, ultimately. As far as who I would like to see him, let me first by say that I know who I would not want to replace him. And there's a lot of rumors that the guy who's on Speak, the former Philadelphia Eagle running back, what do you know the guy I'm talking about?
How long ago was he a running back? You're not talking about Shady McCoy, are you?
Shady McCoy. Yeah, he is on Speak right now. Apparently, he is the favorite to replace Skip Bayless or Shannon Sharpe, and I think that's a terrible move.
He'll get in a fight with Skip Bayless.
I just think it's terrible. Like, I don't find him interesting at all. His takes on speak are nothing. They're fascinating. I think he's I would definitely not tune in that show after that. That's who I don't want to see him replaced by. But as far as Shannon, I think Shannon's going to have his pick at anything. I know Stephen A. said he would like to have him on the First Take. Not as an everyday analyst, but him. He should go to ESPN. I mean, obviously, they have Pat McAfee coming to ESPN. So adding Shannon Sharpe would be huge, but I just don't think that's happening.
I mean, Showtime has some shows now, her podcasts and shows, too. I listened to one the other day. I can't remember what the name of it was, but like
all the Smoke.
No, All the Smoke is with Barnes and Steven Jackson. Matt Barnes and Steven Jackson. That's a good one. There's another one.
But you said Showtime. I'm saying they're on Showtime.
Yeah, there's another one. Like Rachel Nichols has a show on Showtime, and then I don't know if you remember her, but Michelle Beale, that was on the Beatle.
Oh yeah,
has a show, and I listened to one episode. It was really good, and. I can't think of who else is on that show without having to look it up. But I can't remember the name of it either. But I didn't realize they had a show, and I've always liked her a lot. I thought she was really good.
Yeah, you know who has his own podcast? You know who has his own podcast? I didn't know I had one. He's on YouTube. It's Marcellus Wiley. Remember with Speak for Yourself?
Yeah, he was with Max Kellerman a lot.
Also. Manuel Acho. Who actually like that duo, but now Marcellus Wiley has his own little YouTube channel, and actually find it actually really entertaining. So, but I would see Shannon Sharpe maybe go up against like a Mike Irvin. I would actually think that him and Skip Bayless or him and Stephen A. would be fun.
I'll see that. I'd rather see JJ Redick and him. I think JJ's proven himself.
I would like that. JJ Redick is quickly becoming one of my favorite.
Or, like, also RG3.
Yeah, but, I mean, I respect him.
You know what, though? They are – ESPN purchased the rights to have the Pat McAfee show on ESPN now. I don't know if you saw that or not.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I already said that. So he was coming to ESPN. I guess you missed that.
Oh, that's yeah. I was letting my dogs out for about 30 seconds.
But he's got his own guy.
Pat McAfee's probably my favorite right now, to be honest.
Yeah, I would say I don't really have – like I said, I've been more of a First Take guy right now, but I would say my favorite analyst right now is – I like J.J. Redick. J.J. Redick, the thing I like about him is he obviously knows what he's talking about, and he just – I've never once heard a take from him. I'm like, that's fucking crazy. Like, it's time to get rid of Booger – what's the guy – why am I spacing on his name? The one that's Marcus Spears, is it? The one that's always breathing hard in the microphone. Oh no, Perkins, Kendrick Perkins. I can't stand Kendrick Perkins, so I think it's maybe time to replace Kendrick with Shannon. But I'd like that idea. You know, I'm gonna go with that. JJ Redick and Shannon Sharpe. You know, I think that's good. But what I think what he ultimately ends up doing, I think he just because he's taking his rights to Club Shay Shay. I think maybe he turns that into just his own TV show on either ESPN or. Something like that, and he just has Club Shay Shay, and he just has guests, you know. And the good thing I like about Skip or Shannon is he has guests on his show that are not even just in the sports world. He has actors, he has comedians, things like that. And I think that's cool. You know, it's kind of different than what some of these other like people like Skip Bayless that like the only thing they're ever going to be able to stay in is the sports platform. They're not going to be able to expand out. Where I think Shannon Sharpe has grown his popularity and can expand out to other genres besides sports. So I think he's not – if you ask me, I think he's going to probably go to ESPN in some platform, but I don't think he's going to be in debate shows. I think he's going to be kind of more of a Pat McAfee, where that seems to be what's trending right now is more shows like Pat McAfee style. I think Shannon does something like that where he just has guests on his show and – he touches on all things other than sports. I'd watch it, but that's just me. I think his show is just called Club Shay Shay on ESPN or something. That's what I think happens. And I think Skip Bayless is in a lot of trouble. I think it's time for him to retire because if it's Shady McCoy, I'm definitely not watching. I just think he's a revolutionary in his area. think it's just time to maybe to ride into the sunset and just retire.
Yeah, I hope he does. He's an idiot.
Yeah, I would agree. So, last topic. Well, you and I both have one topic you want to close out with. I'll let Adam go first because I just went on my spiel about.
Yeah, you go first. You go first. I got two that I want to hit on real quick. So you go first.
Okay. So the one as I already said, I am a golfer. And for anyone who's been watching golf, there's been a lot of issues between the PGA Tour and LIV Golf. Basically, anyone who doesn't know, LIV Golf is was a competitor of PGA Tour. And basically what it was backed by the Saudis. And a lot of people were upset by the Saudi government because obviously their history with human rights and all that stuff. And it's been pretty storybook that they've killed people, all this other stuff. And people were like, well, why would you take money, blood money per se, to go play in that league? But the reality is the reason why they're doing it because the PGA Tour was not, you know, not giving the same possible opportunities to their golfers as far as a money pay and all this stuff, where the Saudis were offering more money for less time. And obviously, if you're anyone who with any common sense, if you can make more money in less time, wouldn't you do it? And that's absolutely yeah. What do you say?
More likely. Yeah, I agree.
Exactly. I mean, you and I would do the same thing. If your job, you know, I know that you've been working at UPS for 10 plus years, but if a company said, Adam, I will pay to leave UPS today, offer you more money or even make the same amount of money, but in less time. Well, it's like, you know, you'd be like, oh, okay. Like, you know, if someone's like, well, Adam, how much money are you making a year? Oh, okay, you make that in a year. How about I pay that to you in 2 months? Rather than waiting a whole year, I'll give it to you in 2 months. Adam's like, okay, deuces. Like, I mean, and that's just basically what the LIV Tour was, you know. And so a lot of the big names were getting criticized for playing, like I said, for dirty money. Well, and so you had big names like Phil Mickelson, Bryson DeChambeau, just to name a few that were decided, well, I'm only going to play in these major tournaments, you know, the Masters.
Didn't Koepka go to that too? Brooks Koepka.
Koepka, Jordan Spieth, all those people. They're like, well, I'm going to take that money because it's a duh. Well, I think that the PGA realized the writing was on the wall that they're going to be in trouble. And so basically what they decided was to merge with the LIV Tour. So now they're one company. Not really sure. I haven't really looked into like all the details of exactly what that means. But basically they're the same money. So the only thing I feel bad for is all these people that turned down the money to go play for LIV Tour just for them to merge. It's like, well, damn, they just missed out on a whole bunch of money. But, you know, whatever. But my biggest criticism is, well, A, it's a power move. Of course, it's a smart move by the PGA. I mean, they're going to let the – it's good for the sport because just like basketball, golf is a big – they live off the names of their sport. Obviously, Tiger Woods, even though he doesn't play as much, he's still a popular figure in the sport. So anytime he plays, you're going to get the viewership. So same thing, if you have all your big names going to live sports, where is the money or the viewership going to come from? So it was a smart move by them to just team up with your competitors. My criticism to those who say, well, now you're playing, you're taking money from the Saudis and, you know, they've killed people, yada, yada, yada. My question to you is, do you have problems with the U.S.? The U.S. does partnerships with the Saudi Arabia. All these other companies, especially if you work for a big corporation like I do and Adam does, it's probably a good chance that they probably have some sort of business with those countries as well. I mean, that's just the reality. Most of the business these days is done outside of the U.S.
Yeah, but the LIV Tour, what did they want to accomplish at the end of the day? They wanted to modernize golf.
Right, right.
And they succeeded in that because the PGA now realizes they have to modernize with higher contracts, altering the rules a little bit.
Exactly.
I think at the end of the day, the players that went to LIV got what they wanted, and they will end up getting more money out of it if they can continue to play at a high level. I mean, Phil Mickelson's on the back end of his career, but he's a name just like Tiger is.
Absolutely. And so that I just that's the last thing I want to touch on tonight was, you know, smart move by the PGA. I think you saved your sport by doing that. I think maybe not in the short term they would have been in trouble, but I think in the long term they would have. So shout out to the PGA for coming to their sense. And I mean the CEO or commissioner of the PGA kind of looks like a dumb moron right now. He kind of looks like a hypocrite by things that he said previously to make it to this deal. But, you know, outside of like the sport itself, it's a smart move. So that's what I wanted to end the show on for me personally. I know Adam wants to wrap up this show with something he wants to touch base on, so I'm going to let him take it away.
I got two things. I'm going to throw one that I didn't talk to you about. We think about Lionel Messi coming to the MLS and playing for the Inter Miami team.
Well, he's making a shitload of money. That's one thing. The thing that's impressive, he turned down, from what I saw, a report of $5 billion or something, billions of dollars to go play elsewhere. I will say, I mean, that's pretty cool. I mean, to be honest with you, for me personally, I could care less. I'm not a soccer fan, so I probably won't go watch him. Although my son has already said that when they come here to Kansas, that he wants to go see a KC Sporting and just to go see him. So maybe I'll go see him play now, when otherwise I wouldn't have had the opportunity to. So, but overall,
good luck getting tickets. They're pretty sure they're all sold out.
Right. You know, but you know, I'd have a better chance now than I did before. So, but as far as moving the needle, it doesn't really do much for me.
I think it's more of a needle mover than when David Beckham came here.
Yeah, I would think that.
I think Lionel Messi still has some gas in the tank.
Yeah, I would agree.
He's a top five player in the world. I mean,
For sure. He's one of the greatest soccer players of all time. But for me, it doesn't move the needle much. But what's the last thing you want to touch on?
So I'm going to give a shout out to the greatest UFC women's fighter of all time. Not my favorite, but the greatest, Amanda the Lioness Nunez. She won her fight last night and then retired as a two-belt champion after the fight. And her record.
So does that mean that you have to forfeit your titles if you're retiring?
Yeah, she laid them. What they do now, and it's kind of tradition, after when you retire, you lay your gloves in the middle of the ring. She laid her gloves between both titles. And if you don't keep up with the UFC, she's clearly above and beyond every other women's mixed martial artist and the top 10 fighter, pound for pound, male or female, in the world. I mean, the thing that I like about her most in her career, couple things. She was, her knockouts were vicious, for one. And she was a great submission artist, too. But the thing I like the most is that she beat Ronda Rousey in 48 seconds when Ronda Rousey was on top of the world. And everyone was on her bandwagon thinking she was the next big thing. She's great. But the UFC paired her up with people that had terrible takedown defense and terrible ground defense. And that was her thing. She's a great wrestler, and she's a great, great submission artist with the armbar. The second she started going up against boxers, she lost to Miesha Tate. Or no, she lost to Holly Holm. Then she loses to Amanda Nunes, and then that was the end of her career. That's the thing that makes me the happiest with Amanda Nunes. Like I said, she's not my favorite women's fighter of all time. That's got to be Joanna Jurgensen, who retired last year. But she had an amazing career. I mean, if you go look at the names that she's beaten, she beat Shevchenko twice, who's one of the best pound-for-pound women's fighters in the world. She beat Ronda Rousey, Miesha Tate, Kat Zingano back when she was cheating, doing steroids. Or not Kat Zingano, what's her name? Yeah, it was Zagano. I'm sorry. I'm drawing a blank there for a second. I mean, she only lost three fights in her UFC career. So, I mean, that's pretty impressive. And she'll go down, like I said, as the greatest women's fighter of all time, one of the greatest fighters of all time. And I don't see her coming back. She's talked about and toyed with going to the WWE. And I think she transitioned greatly in that.
Right.
So she gets her flowers. So congratulations on an amazing career, and thank you for dethroning Ronda Rousey. I can't say how much I appreciate it.
Well, Adam is our resident, as we said, sports and entertainment figure. So I was not aware of that. I've heard of her. I know of her, So I'm not, I haven't been living under a rock, but I have not been following her career as Adam has. And that's kind of been kind of Adam's thing in the show. He's paid respect to two people that have now retired that have, you know, at first in Carmelo and now Amanda Nunes. So Adam is giving flowers out on this show. So, yeah, Adam, you know, I want to thank everyone for tuning in tonight's episode, and I apologize again as we had a couple week hiatus for marriage and people bailing on the show.
Speaking of that, though, I do have one more shout out I forgot to give at the beginning. Congratulations to another one of my coworkers, Brock, and his wife or his fiance Tia tied the knot this past week. So congratulations to the Byfords.
Yeah, there have been a lot of weddings this week on my timeline. It's been congrats to the newlyweds, and it's been such and such. So it's definitely wedding season. So and anyone that's listening to this podcast that's about to get married or just got married, congratulations to you from Adam and I. And if anyone that's listening to this podcast that wants to be on a future show and is willing to not say they're going to be on the show but actually come on the show, as we threw someone under the bus earlier in this show, if you're going to come to the show, you got to live up to it. You can't say you're going to and then flake out. So if you're not going to flake out on us and actually be on the show.
You know what I think it was, though? You know what I think it was? He probably couldn't figure out who is the GOAT between MJ and LeBron. And he got
I mean, anyone who.
The last episode we did, we finally moved the needle or the number from 1 to 2 that think that MJ is the greatest of all time. And she is your wife also.
Yeah. And that one kind of hurt. But outnumbered in this discussion, and honestly, it really doesn't take that hard to figure out who really is. I mean, if you have any line of comments,
is it 5 or 6 people to 2? Is that where we're at now?
Yeah, you got a while, so you know.
Oh, I know. If we had your brother Jordan on, I'd be at 3 really quick.
You would, and then I have a couple guests that I could add on to keep moving into my favor. So I have some ammunition in as well. I would love to have my brother on this show one time, and I'll have to talk to him about that. But I have a feeling it'll just be a bashing of me the entire show.
Oh, it'd be a great episode. I would love to do that.
Like, imagine having Strecker and my brother on the same episode. I don't know if I could even stand that whole episode between you both, or between all three of you guys. I may just, like, you know what, I'm gonna call in sick that episode.
Because no, we've already said this, but the Strecker episode is a special episode where I'm just gonna sit back and mediate.
Strecker and I, those who are new to the show, have a lot of history of things that we've been wanting to say to each other for years, and so I would love to get that happening. You know what? My birthday's coming up. That would be a great birthday gift if Strecker could just come onto the show. And he can give that to me, something that, you know, I've been wanting to have happen for years. If he can make that happen for my birthday, that'd be great. So, Adam, if you can make that happen for my birthday, that could be your gift to me, is get Strecker. So you have a few weeks to make that happen. So ball's in your court, buddy. And Strecker, if you're listening, ball's in your court, man. You come on the show anytime you want. So anyway, but Adam and I appreciate joining tonight's show. If you
missed Rob, wait. We can't end it without just some random oddball topic.
Okay, you're the one that comes up with them. So
you got to come up with something this time.
I'll be honest with you. Since you caught me on the spot, I can't think of one. Oh, you know what? I'll just think of one real quick. It's really random. It's the first thing that came to my mind. Adam, are you a guy who thinks that pineapple belongs on pizza?
Hell yeah.
Okay. Okay. So something rare that Ab and I can agree with. I love pineapple on my pizza. I'll eat all day long. So yeah,
Adam is the shit.
I absolutely agree with that. So, all right. And actually, I got one more for you, Adam. Just real random. Whenever you have cereal, are you someone that pours the milk first or pours the cereal first?
Cereal first.
Okay, see that you and I are 2 for 2 for night. So that's my two random ones.
Milk first. Why?
I know a few people. I know.
What does that do? Like, you don't get all the cereal soaked how you would if the cereal's already sitting in the bowl.
Okay, and one last question: are you someone that drinks the milk after the cereal, or does it depend on the cereal?
I'm not a big milk person, so no, I don't drink the milk.
For me, I don't either, unless it's Cocoa Puffs, because then it's chocolate milk.
That's fair. The only cereal I really eat ever, for the most part, would be Honey Bunches of Oats. And that's not good to drink the milk. So.
Right. And my favorite cereal is Captain Crunch, and I also like Fruity Pebbles. So those are my and then I would say a third would be I like Honeycombs.
So. I'm not a big cereal person though.
Yeah, I mean I'm not really either, but if I had to choose, those are my three go-tos. So you asked for one, I gave you three. So next week when we top up the show, it's up to you to come up with some random questions as you usually good at that.
Yeah, you don't have to worry about that. But it's good to get back in touch with you. Like you said earlier, I thought, you know, the last time we did a show, that was the most we'd ever interacted in person. Then you just go cold turkey.
Yeah, you know, I just had to recover for 3 weeks because I was like, oh, man, this blasphemy of seeing Adam all this time. And I just got to – nah, like I said, Adam and I are good in case you're wondering. Like I said, I got married, me being gone, that was expected. But what's not expecting is having to flake out on Adam while I was gone. But I'm back now. I'm not getting married. That's done. The next major event in my life is not for a few months away. So then we'll cross that road when it happens. But I appreciate Adam for attempting to hold it down while I was gone. But to no fault of his own, he was unable to. But we're back. And the next time we touch base, we'll have a champion. So whether or not I owe Adam a dinner or not, that's to be seen.
Let's get on the old camera next time, too.
All right. But until next time, again, if you missed a previous episode, go back on all the major platforms. Look up the No BS Podcast. You'll find us. Also, you'll find us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter as well. And if you want to be on the show, just reach out to Adam and I. We'll get you on the show. So again, this is Rob, host of The Most, with my co-host Adam the Birdman Birchman, and we will catch you guys on the flip side. See you guys on the next episode.
Catch you on the flip
side. All right, Adam. All right, peace. We hope you enjoyed this episode of the No BS Podcast. As a reminder, if you missed any previous episodes, go ahead and check us out on Spotify, Apple, or Google Podcasts. Also, while you're checking us out, go to our Facebook page, drop a like, and then also follow us on Instagram, No BS Podcast. We'll catch you guys next week.